Ruth chapter 2 today on Through the Word, where the love story finally begins. It starts with a little kindness, a little gratitude, and a little flirting. Flirting is a beautiful thing. I am 2 weeks away from 23 years married, and I can honestly say that flirting with my wife is still one of my favorite hobbies. Flirting with love, when it's pure, is like a glimmer of God's grace that brightens up our broken lives. And that is exactly what we find here in chapter 2, God's grace shining through in two very dark and desperate lives. It is the first hint of redemption in a story that sorely needs it. The two lives that are broken belong to Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi, both of them widows. We haven't met the man in this love story yet, but hold on, verse 1 is on the way. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Stop there a moment. In order to understand where this is going, and really to understand the rest of the book, you need to know about a Jewish law, the law of the kinsman redeemer. It's one of those laws I mentioned that God decreed to provide for widows in Israel. You can find it in Deuteronomy 25. Basically, if a Jewish man died young without any kids, his younger brother, or next of kin, had first right to redeem his property and keep it in the family. And if the man left a young widow, it was also the duty of that same next of kin to marry the widow and provide for her. That may seem a little weird to you and me, but it was a lifesaver for a young widow, and it would carry on the family line. That family line was a huge deal for a Jew, and the kinsman redeemer would redeem the tragic situation by setting the lonely in a family and creating a heritage for the deceased brother. So that's the kinsman redeemer, also translated guardian redeemer, or in Hebrew, Goel. And verse 1 points out that there happened to be a top-notch candidate for Ruth nearby, a worthy man whose name was Boaz. Now on to verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." Okay, stop another moment. One more law you need to know. This one, again, provided for the poor and for widows. At harvest time, God instructed all people who owned fields not to pick every last grain. They were to leave leftovers in the field so that the poor could come by and pick some as well. That's good welfare. The poor are provided for, and they have the dignity of working for it. So Ruth went out to the harvest field for a hard day's work. Then in verse 4, our hero arrives. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Now Boaz is the owner of the field, and he came from Bethlehem, which should be a hint if you're looking for typology. And the very first words from Boaz are, "The Lord be with you." I like this. God with us is one of the greatest themes in the entire Bible, from the Garden of Eden to the very last words of Jesus before he ascended. "Behold, I am with you always." So many Bible heroes are encouraged with four simple words: "God is with you." That phrase strengthens me and astounds me. Then there is a prophecy that gave Jesus another name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So it is fitting that our hero Boaz arrives from Bethlehem and says, "The Lord be with you." Then in verse 5, Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" So Boaz sees a new girl, and he goes to ask his buddy about her. His buddy is the foreman in charge, and he tells Boaz about Ruth's story. Then Boaz decides to talk to her. Classic. Boaz tells her to stay in his field for work, and also to stay away from the guys and hang out with the girls. Boaz even tells the other guys not to touch her. This is great. Boaz's first instinct towards Ruth are to provide and protect, and to keep the other men away. Then in verse 10, at this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Ruth's response is a grateful one. No entitlement, just gratitude. I have to say that genuine gratitude is a very attractive quality. A grateful heart makes a beautiful smile. Seriously, it is a love story after all, and this is first impression time. This is a reality of romance. Good character makes for good chemistry. And this beaker is starting to bubble. Boaz notices her gratitude, and Ruth notices his kindness. Guys, kindness makes you cuter. Not to me, to the girl. Then verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." So Boaz shares a meal with Ruth of bread and wine. Now, I told you to watch for symbolism. If you haven't caught anything yet, the bread and wine should start to ring a bell. So let's see if we can figure this out. The story of Ruth is a true one, but it is also a picture of our story, of us and God. Now, the details of who symbolizes what are debatable, so I'll just tell you what I see. But you are welcome to disagree with me. First of all, who's who? The first character in our story was Naomi. She's an Israelite, and I believe that she represents the Jewish nation. She was married to a man named God is King, but she left the Promised Land, and God is King died. Do you recall what happened to Jesus? On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode in and was hailed as King. Pontius Pilate presented him as the King of the Jews, and he challenged the Israelites, "Do you want me to kill your king?" The leaders of Israel responded, "We have no king but Caesar." Less than 40 years later, the Israelites were scattered out of Israel and into the world. Do you see the picture in Naomi? Remember, typology is not meant to be an exact science, so keep your eye on the big picture. Then there's Ruth. Ruth is a Gentile, a foreigner who takes refuge in the God of Israel. Ruth represents Christians. Paul tells us in Romans that God used the disobedience of the Jews to bring salvation for the Gentiles, but ultimately he would call the Jews back to the Savior of all. Which brings me to Boaz. He comes from Bethlehem, says the Lord is with you, and in the midst of a story of brokenness and desperation, he's the one man who can save the day. Boaz is the Redeemer, and Boaz pictures Jesus. Now the picture is coming together. The relationship brewing between Boaz and Ruth matches up with the relationship between Jesus and his bride, the church. Think about it. Ruth meets Boaz in the harvest field, just like we meet Jesus. And their first meal together is bread and wine, just like the communion at Jesus' Last Supper. Side note, Boaz is the son of Rahab, the harlot from Jericho. Perhaps Boaz learned something about grace to foreigners from his mama, who received so much of it. Are there any other pictures? Again, up for debate. But consider the foreman. He leads the harvest work and introduces the bride to the Redeemer. Sounds like the Holy Spirit, if you ask me. The Spirit is in charge of God's harvest, and he is the one who introduces each of us to Jesus. Okay, back in our story. Ruth finishes her meal and heads home to share the harvest with her mother-in-law. Remember how we ended the last chapter, when Naomi changed her name from pleasant to bitter. She was convinced that God had afflicted her and caused all of her misfortune. Now check out her reaction when she hears about Boaz in verse 20. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." So the bitter heart begins to soften, and Naomi finds a reason to trust God again. She was not forsaken. This is what redemption is all about. Read Ruth chapter 2 today. Enjoy the flirting. Find a few tips on romance, and see if you can find more pictures of your love story. The one about how you found your Redeemer.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.